This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And recap of why this month is important, what we should hope to achieve in this month, and how we can go about doing so. So the month of Ramadan is a very special month. It's one of the only months mentioned by name in the Quran. In Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 183 and 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about the fiqh of Ramadan, the obligations of Ramadan. And it talks about fasting, talks about the Quran, but he also talks about why. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that your taqwa can increase. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you may be grateful. Right? There is a clear why behind the law. It's not just a matter of fasting for no reason or praying for no reason. There are things we are supposed to get out of fasting. The primary goal of Ramadan is that we should exit Ramadan on a higher level of iman than we entered it. Our faith, our iman, is something that is constantly fluctuating. Right? The scholars of the past used to say, Al-imanu yazidu wa yankus. Iman goes up and down. It increases and decreases. And throughout the year, every time we do good deeds, our iman increases. Every time we fall short or we commit a sin or we make a mistake, our iman decreases. And we kind of need like that shot of extra iman to get to boost us to the next level and to prevent us from just completely crashing. And that's what the month of Ramadan really is. It's that annual recharge of one's iman. It's an annual recharge of one's faith. So if you are coming up towards Ramadan and you feel like you are not as pious as you were a year ago, or you're feeling spiritually burnt out, or you feel like your iman is low, then the good news is Ramadan is there to revive it. Ramadan is there to revive your iman. It's there to increase your taqwa. It's there to get you back up to that level that you were at a year ago, or maybe even higher. But to get there, we need to take advantage of this month and utilize it in the way that Allah wants us to. And this is where many of us fall short. That sometimes Ramadan for us becomes just a culture. Or for some of us it becomes just a matter of getting it over with because everybody else is doing it. Right? So some of us we just fast because everyone else is fasting. And we pray Taraweeh because everyone else is praying Taraweeh. But we don't get any spiritual benefit out of it. And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned this in a hadith. He said there are some people who get nothing out of their fasting besides hunger and thirst. Meaning they get no reward for their fasts. And they get no spiritual growth and benefit from their fast. Why? Because they may be staying away from food and drink because everybody else is staying away from food and drink. But they are using bad language, they are backbiting, they are slandering, they are wasting time with haram entertainment. They are not spiritually growing. You know, the fast is just a cultural practice for them. So we need to be aware that we don't fall into this category that the Prophet ﷺ described as the people who get nothing out of fasting besides hunger and thirst. Rather, our fast, it should be لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so our taqwa increases. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so our gratitude to Allah increases. So how do we attain these goals in Ramadan? I want us to focus on five things. Five acts of worship, five acts of ibadah that we can do and increase the quality of in this upcoming Ramadan. That we can do these five things, then inshallah by the end of Ramadan, our taqwa will be on a higher level, our gratitude will be on a higher level, our connection with Allah and our connection with the Quran will be on a higher level. Number one, obviously, is fasting. Right? Number one, Ramadan is the month of fasting. And this year, I want us to fast intentionally. Fast with a conscious awareness of what we are doing and why we are doing it. Don't just fast because everybody else is doing it or because it's your culture or because your parents are making you do it or whatever that case may be. Fast for the sake of Allah. And don't just fast from food and drink. Fast from things that waste time. Fast from the sins of the tongue. Fast from committing any type of sins. Utilize this month to improve yourself spiritually. If you have a bad habit, Ramadan's the time to quit. I know of many people who gave up smoking in Ramadan. I know of many people who gave up much worse things than that in Ramadan. Right? Things we don't even want to mention. But it is possible that if you can go 30 days without it, you can go for life without it. It's a great time to try and give up some of your bad habits. It's a great time to try and get new good habits. And also, even the habit of fasting. You know, many of us, we restrict it to Ramadan. But we really need to build a habit of fasting outside of Ramadan. Fasting on the, you know, the day of Zulhijjah, of Arafah, the day of Muharram, the 10th of Muharram, fasting Mondays and Thursdays, fasting even in this month, right? It is the habit of Rasulullah that a month before Ramadan, he would start increasing his optional fasting so that he would be spiritually and physically used to fasting by the time Ramadan comes around. This is another lost sunnah in our times. So let us take our fasting and elevate it spiritually. Let us fast consciously. That I am doing this for the sake of Allah. So I'm not going to waste time while fasting. I'm not going to sit around backbiting and gossiping while fasting. I'm not just going to sleep through the month of Ramadan. I'm going to spiritually grow through this fast. That this fast is going to teach me self-control. It's going to teach me how to give up my bad habits. It's going to teach me how to build new good habits. It's going to show me how much self-control I really have. So number one is fasting. The second act of worship that we all should be increasing in this Ramadan, in terms of both quantity and quality, is the recitation of the Quran. The only verse in the Quran that mentions the word Ramadan links it directly to the Quran itself. Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 185, شَهْرُ رَمَدَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدَى لِلنَّاسِ. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed as guidance for mankind. The initial revelation of the Quran was in Ramadan. And it was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that every Ramadan he would sit with the angel Jibreel and recite whatever had been revealed to him of the Quran to the angel to ensure the preservation of the Quran. And in his last Ramadan, he recited the entire Quran twice to the angel Jibreel. And then this becomes the practice of the righteous, that the righteous would dedicate the month of Ramadan to the recitation of the Quran. Then many of them would do stop everything else. They would even stop studying hadith, and they would stop studying the books of fiqh, and it would just be the Quran for the entire month of Ramadan. That this is the month of the Quran, and they would do nothing but the Quran for the entire month. And you know, sometimes we hear these stories and we think they're exaggerated, but they're not. Some of the early Muslims would recite the entire Quran twice a day in Ramadan. Not when they were young, but over time building up the practice. You know, like when you're young, if you're reciting the entire Quran once a month, the next year twice, two times in a month, the next year three times in a month. If you keep growing, by the time you're in your 50s or 60s, it is possible to be reciting the entire Quran every day in Ramadan. This is possible with barakah and time and Allah's blessings and being accustomed to the recitation. It is possible. But this is how much time they gave to the Quran in Ramadan. And I want us to connect to the Quran in three ways this Ramadan. Number one, increase your recitation. So if you recited the entire Quran twice last year in Ramadan, try to do it three times this year. If you did it five times last year, try to do it six times this year. Increase your recitation of the Quran. We should be reciting at least two juz of the Quran per day. A little bit after Fajr, a little bit after Zuhr, a little bit while waiting for Iftar, right? But increase your recitation of the Quran. Number two, increase your understanding of the Quran. We go back to the verse, what did Allah say? Allah says that He revealed the Quran in Ramadan. Why? Hudal linnas, as guidance for mankind. Ask yourself, is the Quran my guidance? Do I take my life lessons from the Quran? Do I take my way of life, my philosophy of life, the way I think about the world from the Quran? Do I allow it to guide my relationships? If not, let this be the month where the Quran becomes your means of guidance. You can read the translation, you can attend a tafsir halaqa, you can listen to the imam's explanation before or after Taraweeh, you can watch YouTube videos explaining the Quran, but do something to increase your understanding of the Quran. And the third thing we should do this Ramadan related to the Quran is tadabbur, to reflect and ponder on the verses of the Quran and how it applies to you. In this age of social media, we are dangerously losing our ability to sit alone and think deeply. We are constantly connected, and we are constantly online, and we are never alone with our thoughts. This Ramadan, try to disconnect. Try to have an hour where there's, you're not online. No one can get hold of you. It's just you and the Quran. You are reciting, you are reading the translation, you are thinking deeply about it, you are reflecting on its meanings and how it applies to your life. Connect to the Quran on a deeper level. So increase your recitation, increase your understanding, and reflect on how the Quran applies to your life. This is how we get the Quran to become hudan linnas, to become our guidance for us. The third act of worship that we need to focus on this Ramadan is praying the nights of Ramadan. Spending the night of Ramadan in prayer. Without going into the fiqh and all the controversies, we know every Ramadan people fight over the fiqh and the controversies about the night prayer. Don't get into the controversies. Focus on praying at night for the sake of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qama Ramadana imano wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi." Whoever spends the night of Ramadan in prayer, in the Qiyamul Layl, imano wa ihtisaba, doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah, hoping for reward from Allah, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi, all of his past sins will be forgiven. So instead of arguing over how many rak'ah is the night prayer, is it tahajjud or is it tarawih, is it better after Isha or better in the last one third of the night, focus on doing it for the sake of Allah, hoping for reward from Allah. Focus on the quality of your night prayer. That you are utilizing the nights of Ramadan to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through praying at night. Focus on the quality of your night prayer. And this is a good chance to build a habit that can continue after Ramadan. Because really, the prophetic habit, the sunnah of the night prayer is not restricted to Ramadan. It's all year round. Aisha radiallahu anha said the Prophet would pray the Qiyamul Layl in and out of Ramadan. In and out of Ramadan. This was his habit throughout the year. But Ramadan is a time for the average Muslim to engage in it and to try and build some kind of habit. And one simple tip for how you can improve your night prayer this Ramadan is to do a little extra. And by a little extra, I mean, when you wake up for suhoor, instead of waking up just when it's time to eat, wake up 10 or 15 minutes earlier, make wudu, pray 2 rakats of tahajjud, and sit and make dua. The quality of those 2 rakats is on another level. The effect it has on your iman is on another level. And perhaps you will fall in love with the night prayer by just waking up a few minutes earlier and worshipping Allah when everybody else is asleep. So we said, number one, improve your fasting. Number two, connect deeper with the Quran. Number three, improve the quality of your night prayer. Number four, be more generous. The Prophet ﷺ was described as the most generous of people. But the hadith says the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous of people, but his generosity increased in Ramadan. Right? Even though throughout the year he was the most generous of people, he was extra generous in Ramadan. And so it is the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba to give extra charity in Ramadan, to be extra generous in Ramadan. And we need to revive these practices. Whether it's hosting iftar, whether it's donating food to the poor so they can have iftar, whether it's just giving charity every day to different causes, whether it's inviting people over for meals, whatever it is. But we should every day in Ramadan be doing something with our wealth for the sake of Allah. Every day in Ramadan be doing something with our wealth for the sake of Allah. This will activate the barakah in our wealth. And this will remove from our hearts that attachment to the dunya. And this will have a ripple effect throughout the year. That whatever you gave in Ramadan is going to come back 10 times over or more. It's going to have a barakah effect for the rest of the year. Make sure we increase in our charity in the month of Ramadan. I know most of us, we pay our zakah in Ramadan because it's easier to remember the lunar dates by working with Ramadan. And that's good, right? Although remember, technically you can pay zakah any time of the year. It's not directly linked to Ramadan. But it's fine to do it in Ramadan as well. But don't only do zakah. Increase your sadaqah. Increase your sadaqah. Think about doing it the way the Sahaba did it. The verse of the Quran where Allah says, it is not piety unless you give that which you love. Let us try giving something that we love. Let us try giving something that hurts. You know, like it's easy to give charity when you don't need it. But if you love something and you give it in charity, that's the sunnah. That's what the Sahaba would do. When this verse was revealed, Abu Talha al-Ansari, he thought about what he loved the most. And he thought about his most profitable garden, the most profitable garden in Medina. And he donated it as a waqf fi sabilillah. The first waqf in Islam was because of this verse. Imagine thinking, what's the thing I love the most and giving that fi sabilillah. Now, we don't expect us to be on that level, but at least give till it hurts. Don't just give that which you can easily part with. So increase the quality and the quantity of our sadaqah in the month of Ramadan. And number five is only for those who can, because it's not compulsory and it's very difficult. But number five, if you can, if you have the opportunity and if you have the resources and you have the time, try to spend the last 10 nights of Ramadan in itikaf. Right, this is becoming a lost sunnah for many people. Many people have never done itikaf in their life. And to spend the last 10 nights of Ramadan in the masjid, just focus on the worship of Allah. And by the way, if you're doing this, don't take your phone. Don't take social media in there with you. Don't take the internet in there with you. The whole point of itikaf is to be disconnected from the world. If you're just sitting on Facebook and Twitter in the masjid, that's not really itikaf. You're still out in the dunya, you're just physically in the masjid. Right? So disconnect. If you're doing itikaf, do it for the sake of Allah and do it in the way that is pleasing to Allah. Do it in a way where it's just you worshipping Allah for 10 days. This is one of the greatest good deeds that we could do. But in our times, it's becoming a bit of a lost art. Right? We don't see people as excited for it as they used to be in the past, and as many people doing it as they used to be in the past. Now, understand, for younger people who have small children and they need to be at home, it's difficult. But, you know, if your children are grown up and you've got more time on your hands and you've got more freedom when it comes to your work hours and being able to take a week off from work and things like that, if you're at that point in your life, you should seriously start thinking of doing itikaf every year. Because this is like one of the most powerful acts of worship that can transform our lives. And is really in danger of becoming a lost sunnah in our communities. So the month of Ramadan is around the corner. Let us increase in our worship in Ramadan. And let us increase both the quality and the quantity of our worship in Ramadan. By focusing on these five things. The quality and quantity of our fasting, our recitation of the Quran, our taraweeh, our charity, and if possible the itikaf. And if you can do these things, then inshallah, by the end of Ramadan, our taqwa will increase. Our gratitude will increase. Our guidance will increase. And we would have achieved the goal of Ramadan, of exiting it on a higher level than we entered it. We ask Allah to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan and to benefit from it. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Just a very brief advice on suhoor and iftar. We tend to make a lot of mistakes regarding these two meals that affect the quality of our fast. So this Ramadan, I challenge us to do two things. Number one, to eat a healthy suhoor. To eat a healthy sehri, right? When you wake up in the morning, don't fill yourself up with things that are going to make you lazy and lethargic and out energy and make you pick up weight. Fill yourself with things that are energizing. Fill yourself with things that are healthy. Fill yourself with things that are going to sustain you throughout the day. Now, whatever it is you decide, there are many articles online about healthy suhoor options. You can go online and research it yourself. Find what works for you, what you enjoy the taste of, and what works best for your body. But let's try and eat healthy for suhoor. Right? Don't overeat, and don't eat, you know, the leftovers of iftar. Don't eat fried stuff for suhoor. Right? But when you wake up early in that morning and you're having your early morning meal, try to keep it healthy. Let us challenge ourselves to have a healthy suhoor this year. And if you're not in the habit of waking up, wake up. Because the Prophet said there is barakah in the suhoor. Why would you want to miss out on the barakah of the last one third of the night? There's barakah in the meal, there's barakah in dua made at that time, in salah prayed at that time, duas are answered at that time. Why would you want to miss out on this? So let us make sure we are waking up at that time, we are eating something healthy, we are using the time for ibadat, and we're starting our days on the right note in Ramadan. The second thing that I challenge us to do this Ramadan is to eat moderately for iftar. Right? Another social practice that's not good, but it's common in most Muslim cultures, is that we tend to overeat at iftar. And not only does that have negative impact on our health, right? The long-term health consequences of that is disastrous, but it also has a negative impact on our spirituality. You know, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, when he listed the five main causes of people's spirituality decreasing, Overeating, it was listed on that list, right? He mentioned oversleeping and overeating as things that kill your heart. They have the opposite of the purification of the heart effect, right? The depurification of the heart is done through overeating. It is not the sunnah to overeat, right? So let us try to eat moderately for iftar. And by the way, when we overeat in iftar, it doesn't just affect us. So number one, we said it has a health issue. Number two, it affects our purification of the soul. Number three, it makes us lazy for the taraweeh. When you overeat iftar time, you get lazy to pray taraweeh, or you're running to the bathroom taraweeh time, or worst of all, you're disturbing others with the gases in taraweeh time, right? So let us be conscious, and let us make sure that we are eating moderately, which is the sunnah throughout the year. The sunnah of Islam, the sunnah of Rasulullah and the Sahaba is to eat moderately. They would never eat to their full. And this is something that, again, we all struggle with in the modern world. You know, we live in an age of indulgence, and we have this habit of just eating until we are overstuffed. We need to revive the sunnah. The sunnah is not just what's best for our iman, it's also what's best for our health. So I challenge us this Ramadan to eat a healthy suhoor and to eat a moderate iftar. And these things will not just benefit us in terms of health, but they will benefit us spiritually as well. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us, to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan, to allow us to benefit from the month of Ramadan and to worship Him as He deserves, and to answer all of our du'as this month of Ramadan. Even those du'as that seem impossible, we ask Allah to answer those du'as in miraculous ways. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ